Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
All right, here we are. Welcome back, listeners and subscribers. Another episode of Compliance Pointers and another episode with the Tony Jarnigan. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Jordan.
How are things down in Florida?
I think it might be a little rainy right now, but going good overall. Thanks for asking. How's things in Duluth?
It's overcast, mid-70s, high-70s. Kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah, if the sun comes out, it'll be hot. Are you worried at all about the hurricane? I don't know the name, but that's heading towards Florida? No. Floridians don't care about that.
I've been through these things, you know, too many times. But
yeah,
we're not having to hunker down now.
Okay,
whatever that means. I'm still not sure what hunker down means, but or evacuate either. So
we're good. Doing good. I hope that doesn't change. So I'm trying to think of a clever segue from hunkering down and preparation and hurricane risk into third party telemarketing vendor risk. And I got nothing. So I'll just announce the topic for those watching and listening. You might be familiar with Tony Jarnigan. This has got to be close to 10 episodes for you, Tony. Maybe not this season, but over the course, it's been a few. Or maybe that's just how impactful the episodes you've been on have been. But
thanks very much for that, Jordan. I don't think it's 10, but I do know I have did hear recently that I'm moving up the chart in terms of number of appearances made.
It's been several. We know that for certain. So this is a good topic today. I think this is overlooked a lot with organizations using third party telemarketers. I'm gonna emphasize that telemarketer can have a broad definition. And if you're tuning out of this episode because you think, oh, well, that's not us, we don't engage any third-party telemarketers, you might be surprised what counts. And we're not necessarily going to get into the definition of that, but if you've got companies texting on your behalf, placing outbound solicitation calls on your behalf, even if they're fielding them on your company's behalf and then they call them back later, there's several ways that you can meet the definition here. So this could be applicable to you. Tony has been with Compliance Point. I always am either over or under on this, Tony, but I'm going to say the over under is 3.5 years.
Bingo. You're spot on this time, Jordan. That's right.
But but prior to that, I think closer to a decade, right? Disney Vacation Club. Mm-hmm. And even prior to that, experience in compliance, privacy, all in this realm. So, and has been working with our clients in a variety of different areas. And a lot of our clients, I almost said big clients, but don't necessarily have to be a big client. A lot of our organizations have vendors. They have vendors that place calls on behalf. And so we have a vast experience in helping them manage, you'd call that downstream risk, right? Downstream risk associated with activities that's happening on their behalf. So what's their liability? We say vicarious liability, right, of vendors or even partners in some instances that are conducting telemarketing campaigns on their behalf. So we're going to talk about ways to effectively mitigate that. We're going over, and I'm going to read my script here, Tony, but we got four things we want to know. Why do businesses need to know that their vendors are operating in compliance with TCPA and other regulations? When shopping for them, how can you vet compliance or potential risks? When you've selected a partner or a vendor, what compliance elements should be included in the contract? And once a third party is making calls on your behalf, how should you manage that? What sort of maintenance for monitoring compliance? So let's start with the first one. Why do businesses need to ensure that their vendors are operating in a compliant manner, or at least mostly compliant manner, or a very, risk mitigating manner when it comes to TCPA and other similar type regulations that govern this space?
Yeah. Well, it's because of this legal doctrine that I think you've already referenced, right? Vicarious liability, which is in fact a legal document or legal doctrine, sorry, where one party is being held responsible for, you know, the actions of another. And it's not because they actually did whatever it was, right? But because of the relationship with whoever did what it was. So we've seen a number of cases and instances where, you know, a seller can be held vicariously responsible for the actions of others. And, you know, even when in our space and telemarketing world where the seller didn't even make the first phone call. I look at this as sort of a catch-22, because a number of things that courts have looked at in determining whether a seller should be held vicariously liable for the actions of their vendors is a level of involvement in the activities, right? So, you know, how involved is the seller in the vendor activities in terms of scripting and, you know, other practices? And, you know, the concept being that the more involved you are, the more you can't claim ignorance, right? Or that you're not responsible or you didn't know. But at the same time, courts have said, on the other extreme, if you fail to monitor and you don't look at anything that your vendors are doing, you can be held liable as well, right? So it's like a catch-22. So what's the answer? And we think that it's definitely more on the monitor side. Don't just take a complete hands-off approach. Monitor. And, you know the compliance issues and monitor the vendors for any gaps. But, you know, compliance can't and should not be a key reason for hiring vendors, right? There's a number of different incentives to hiring vendors, right? Scalability, their ability to ramp up processes very quickly, cost efficiencies, but it can't be that, oh, well, I don't know anything about this compliance stuff, so I'm going to offload that and then just take a hands-off approach. That shouldn't be your strategy at all. If you don't know compliance, you need to get amped up on compliance
you're not outsourcing compliance.
Right. Don't outsource compliance, and, you know, either get up on it yourself or you can hire us, and, you know, we can do the some vetting and monitoring and that sort of thing.
So to play that back, vicarious liability, the term, right, basically means that these organizations making calls on your behalf and their activities, and especially their non-compliance, can drag you into the struggles with them, right, or the potential risks, whether it's financial or reputation or other things, and that doesn't give you reason to just outsource all compliance requirements to them and take a hands off. You need to build a program, and you need to vet your vendors as they're coming on board, and you need to monitor them ongoing too, because compliance, you know, you hear the term all the time, it's not set and forget it. Okay, so that's why. So let's talk about, and I like your point with, hey, there's time to ramp up and there's cost efficiencies, and these are factors to consider in looking at a vendor, and it shouldn't just be maybe robust compliance with the intent that you can just outsource that, but it does come into play, and it is important. So how do you vet an organization that you're looking to bring on as a vendor? You know, what's a good measuring stick for compliance and risk management?
Yeah, well, there are all kinds of things come to mind here, right? And again, we do all of this for our clients too. But I would say, you know, and we get asked by our clients to do things, run the gamut, right? From, hey, can you take a look at this consent language on this lead generator's website and tell me if I can rely on that to make calls, right? And then, you know, or we might be, something else we might do is prep questionnaires, right, that our clients can provide their potential vendors beforehand, right? And say, hey, answer all these questions, and so we can get a feel for your compliance posture, right? But And then, you know, and then they, we may even review the answers to those. And by the way, we've even gone on site, right, to perform assessments for third-party vendors who, you know, call on our clients' behalf. So I would just say, you know, first do a lot of vetting beforehand, right? Even before you get into a relationship you didn't necessarily want to be in, is, you know, start checking for, see if there's been any lawsuits, right? Check for complaints. Ask questions. You know, do they know what a compliance policy is? Do they know that consumers have the right to ask for the compliance policy? You know, are you registered as a telemarketer where you need to be as a third party vendor? You know, if you're a calling BPO, and if you have exemptions, do you know about the exemptions that you may be able to enjoy or you know, how quickly can you get me DNC files, for example, too, right? And how quickly, if I get you a DNC file, if I'm following them on behalf and I've got consumers asking me not to call them, and I want you to make sure that you scrub your list with my DNCs, you know, how quickly can you do that? So those are the kinds of questions you want to ask there.
You can probably determine how deep to dig into some of that too, because, you know, based on how the preliminary questions and how they're responding to those and some of the higher level ones. And if, you know, maybe they pause and they go, what's an EBR or, you know, DNC files, go, okay, either we abandon ship or we need to dig a little bit. You're going to have to demonstrate a little bit more from a compliance standpoint before we hire you.
Right. And there are enough players in our space, right, that do it the right way. And so if you happen to run across one that's not, you can say, well, thank you, but, you know, I'm going to move on. But, you know, another one that I was going to mention is, you know, what's your dialing platform look like? Do you know what abandonment is? You know, if you're dialing in a predictive mode or a mode that, you know, could result in abandoned calls, you know, how do you handle that? Do you plan an abandonment message on those abandoned calls? And a lot of times we'll be like, I'm not sure what that is or I didn't know I had to do that. You know, so, you know, that would be a telltale sign right there as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's say that they pass that. You like the vendor, you want to bring them on. What sort of things should you include in your contractual agreement with said vendor to help reduce your vicarious liability or maybe you can't do that, but help reduce risk?
Yeah. Well, I would just speak sort of generally and broadly here, right? Because ultimately, you know, contracts are legal documents. We would, you know, advise you to make sure that you get attorney buy-in on this, right? There's a lot of seasoned attorneys in this area and, you know, make sure they review your contracts and take their advice at the end of the day. But I would say the first school of thought is that if a vendor tries to get you to, you know, enter a relationship without a contract, That would be your first indication that you should run far, far away, right? So don't ever enter into a relationship without a contract. So again, you know, make sure that you consult with the seasoned attorneys in the space when you're doing your contract. But I'd just say generally, you know, make sure that, you know, require them to adhere to all federal and state laws and regulations. That they'll cooperate in an audit, right? If you want to audit them or have a company like us audit them. But also generally, I think in a contract, you need to make sure you spell out precisely who's responsible for what, right? And it runs the gamut as well, all the way from training to record keeping. Record keeping is a huge, huge issue, right? Because you got to make sure you have records to make sure that you're in you have a defensible position. If you don't have records, then, you know, you're a sitting duck. So, you know, but the lead gens, by the way, should absolutely 100% be keeping records of consent. But just make sure that your contracts, you know, spell out responsibilities. But again, other than that, I would suggest, you know, consulting with an attorney.
So one of the things you talked about in there is that you're given the right to audit. And I don't think that's just, you know, once a year, that probably included in that is calling files, other activity that could be high risk, and what's happening with that activity, abandonment, right, for instance. So you figured out what sort of risk you want to look for and manage off of. You've assessed a vendor, they passed that test, you've contractually got these put, you know, things in place to help you monitor that. Now, what do you monitor?
Well, you want to make sure that, you know, I would say tell them that, you know, you want to be able to put your consumer hat on or even your compliance hat, right, and test their systems. And, you know, tell them that you want to see records, you know, you want to be able to test the procedures and say, you know, come in as a consumer and say, you know, get the vendor on a phone call and say, you know, tell the agent, you know, don't call me anymore. And then see if what happens if they don't call you anymore, you know, test their, if they say that they in fact, provide copies of their do not call policy or your do not call policy for people that request it, test it, see if it happens. Make sure that, you know, you're reviewing their scripts, make sure they're providing the disclosures that they need to be providing both on the federal and state level. You know, monitor their DNC list scrubbing practices, right? At the end of the day, you just want to make sure that they're in fact making calls with a legal basis. Whether it's because of, you know, the type of kind of technology that they're using and the types of devices they're calling, or relative to, you know, being on the do not call list from a DNC yeah. perspective. But anything that touches compliance, test it. And by the way, and this sort of brings us full circle to a point you made at the top of the show, and that is relative to the kinds of vendors you should be thinking about, right? It's not always just about telemarketing or texting, right? I remember a couple of episodes ago, right, when I was here, we did email, right? So even if you're using a marketing agency that's sending email on your behalf, you know, because of those states that have those laws that say that, you know, you can't mislead in an email that's separate apart from canned spam, ask to review those subject lines. Make sure that you look at the opt-out procedures and that, you know, they're not making it too difficult to opt out of email. I remember doing an assessment for a client, and when they said, well, send us some emails, and let, you know, or I opted in for emails and then tested the opt-out procedure. And I had to search high and low to finally find the link to opt out. And then once I did that, instead of being told how to opt out, I got a full-on ad that was even more detailed than what it was I was looking at to begin with. And then I had to look for another opt-out link. And then even then, I was taken to the next page where it wasn't intuitively obvious what you needed to do. And you had to scroll around and hover. And then finally, something populated that said, enter your email address. So we would not consider that to be a clear and conspicuous.
No, not good practice. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So test stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that ought to do it for today. I mean, that was a lot in inside of about 20 minutes. So, and some key points there. Sort of risk exists out there for organizations engaging these vendors, how to assess that risk before you bring on a vendor, how to contractually protect yourself in onboarding the vendor, and then what to monitor for after that. So that was very life cycle. So thanks for that, Tony. And I would say too, in these episodes, I usually make plugs for Compliance Point naturally, but I would make even more so a plug here. I mean, if you're a listener and you're struggling to monitor these vendors, or you're concerned about the risk of the vendors making these or conducting this activity on your behalf, we have been doing this for a long time. We have built programs in response to investigations by FTC and FCC for organizations we weren't working for previously, but we hired on and we brought in, you know, helped, I would say, alleviate some pressure from those companies. We've served as expert witnesses in hundreds of cases where we've seen the sort of activity that was overlooked, that wasn't monitored. In terms of a company that knows what is the activity that's high risk, that's going to get a company in trouble? How do you monitor for it? How do you build a paper trail and defendable position that you're taking this stuff seriously? We're one to have a conversation with, is where I'll leave it at that. And practitioners like Tony here. So, Tony, thanks for your time. For your anybody, time. Interested in learning more about our services around these, or just even questions with some of the things to look for, please don't hesitate to reach out. CompliancePoint.com. You can email us directly at connect@CompliancePoint.com. And you can reach out on LinkedIn. Many channels that you can find us. If you just Google Compliance Point, you should have no shortage of options to get in touch, and we can field those inquiries. Till next time, everybody, thanks and be well.
Thanks, Jordan.
See you, Tony.